Romans chapter number 8 tonight, a very familiar passage of scripture for some of us, but not for all. And sometimes I'm reminded that that's something, sometimes it's just because you and I have heard it over and over again doesn't mean somebody doesn't need to hear it for the first time. Amen. And it's good for us to be reminded of it. But again, tonight I just want to take you there, and maybe you'll look at it in a fresh new way and just take it there and not think of it this way. As if you're a Christian and you've been in the building all your life, you know, you started coming before you were born, amen, to the nursery and things like that. Tonight, I pray that you'll just ask the Lord when I pray tonight to help you open your eyes and see some things. I want to preach a message tonight from Romans, and we'll run up one other place tonight. But I just want to, kind of with the, you know, February and Valentine's Day just being passed, I want to just preach a message on all things for his Valentine. All things for his Valentine. I think we'll see it clearly through the scripture tonight. So if you will, pray with me and pray for me tonight. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for your word. It teaches us how you loved us, Lord, and how you gave yourself for us. Lord, help us to learn to give ourselves back to you. Help us to love you the way we ought to, Lord. And thank you, Lord. Help us to realize all the things that have been given to those that love you. God, I pray tonight that you just help me to speak. I pray you'd help everybody to listen, Lord. I pray you'd help them to follow in the word of God, that they might be helped and be able to hold on to what the truths from the word of God tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter number 8 tonight, and I want to be specifically starting around verse 28, but I'm afraid for context sake that you might miss something. I don't know how long you've been saved or how many times you've been over this chapter, but oftentimes we do not connect the back half of the chapter and the things that God speaks to the first half of the chapter, because we typically jump in where it's going to teach us that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are called according to his purpose. We jump in there and we forget that the entire context of the previous part of the chapter are all steeped in the Holy Spirit indwelling the Christian and giving us and bringing us all things. We forget just how much power and what we got, that when Jesus left, he said, I must send a comforter to you. I have to go away. It's not like Jesus left us comfortless. He left us with the Spirit of God. And oftentimes we forget that it was needful for us that he go and take the position of intercessor so that we could be indwelled by the Spirit of God. We don't think about it as one of the things or a third part of God that was bestowed upon us, the earnest of our inheritance, the scripture says. Or if I could just say it in layman's term, a down payment was made for us in our soul by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Most of us realize that sealed us into the day of redemption, and we for salvation that we could not keep ourselves. So read with me in context, if you would. I want to jump through the verses for time's sake. If I preached it the way I wanted to tonight, the teenagers wouldn't make it to Fun Spot. Okay? So tonight I'll try to preach them out of here and get them to Fun Spot. But if you would, look at the scripture with me in verse 6. All right? Look at it. In verse 6 of chapter 8, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Look at verse 8. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." If we are to live, that carnally minded man can't please God. We can't please God living on our flesh. We can only please God when we live in the Spirit. Jump down with me in verse number 10. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Verse 12, he says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by God, by the Spirit of God, they are" what? "The sons of God." It talks about, shows us that we're a part of the family of God. We are marked clearly from the New Testament scripture. Jesus said that all men would know us for our love for each other, because we've become family, a part of the family of God, part of his sons of God, if we could say it that way. Verse 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in" who? "Us." believers. Oftentimes when we read the context of where we're headed in chapter 8, he begins to try to let us know by the time we get to verse 28, that 10 verses earlier, the context is the Spirit of God needs to live in us and through us if we're going to have the life that God wants us to have, not with a carnally minded man, but a man that is living in the Spirit of God. And he's going to go and tell us that just because we live unto God doesn't mean that we don't have earthly troubles. He says, for I reckon. He's saying, in other words, I have to understand some things. The carnally minded man, if he's not careful, will think if I get saved, everything's going to be good. But that ain't how it works. I was telling preacher Saturday morning, I was on the way to the airport to come here, and I was doing good things. And I was making good time. But then the alternator went out in the truck. And you know, it went out, and then, you know, but the battery still had some life in it. And it went a good ways, but then the lights got dim. And then there wasn't no lights. Then there weren't no dash lights. And I told my wife, I said, we better pull this thing over because it ain't far. It ain't going to have no life left in it at all. It ain't going to keep running. You say, what'd you do, preacher? Well, before it did that, when I saw the alternator wasn't working, I got a battery and I kept driving. I pulled over and changed it out. You know, one of the blessings of the Christian life is that, we don't have any life in ourselves. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, and life has to be put in us. A charge has to be put in us on a consistent basis. And if we unplug from the charger, we're going to go dead. Now, that may not make sense to anybody that don't know how that really works, but all of you that realize that a battery don't charge itself, it has to have a charge from some outside port. All it does is constantly, the engine and the car and everything is consistently draining that battery down. This world and everything we touch that's all around us is continually just sucking us dry of every piece of power and anything that's inside of us. It'll drain us all the way down till there's nothing left if we don't stay plugged up, if we don't stay to the one that keeps us charged up. The life that came into me at salvation wasn't from inside of me, it was from heaven. His name was the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And if I'm going to be what I ought to be, I can't not live in me, because me was dead. I didn't have enough power to crank the car up, let alone put the lights on for anybody else to see. But when he charges me up, now I can live. Now I can love the right way. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's just all things. Look at what the Bible says in chapter 8 about all things. In verse 28, he says, and we know. Do you know what that means? That there's that one that lives in us, that was revealed in us, Jesus. Who do we know if we're going to know this? We know Jesus as our Savior. If we know that, then we can know this. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We can separate that in any way you want to, but he's going to explain it. Look down at the verses. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You would be mistaken if you think that verse 28 talks only about those that are called to the work of the ministry. It's a call to be saved. And that call went out to all men, and all men that receive it are the called. They're justified. They're predestined by the foreknowledge of God. God knew who would call upon his name, and those he did predestinate. Don't let anybody tell you that predestination is God picks some people to be saved and some people to be lost. That's not my God. That's not from the Bible. That's false doctrine. That's a bunch of Calvinists trying to make themselves feel better about not inviting anybody to church or ever telling anybody the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we realize that it's every man who is called, he's called to come, that there's a drawing, and he sent us Well, I don't know about you, but when we just get through missions and all the things, I went home to Maryland there, and I saw missionaries again and the great cause that it is of Christ. But how do we fulfill the call of God without the Spirit of God? We work in this flesh, and we try to do in the flesh. We give in the flesh, and we wonder why we don't get any. We don't have any power. Or we don't see any result. We got to stay plugged in. We got to have the output. He says the church, his Valentine, the one he gave the Great Commission to, you know what he wants you to have? All things. I don't know who you are or where you are, but if you got a Valentine in this building, you want them to have everything. You want them to have all things. Now, you say, oh, preacher, you know, I feel the same way, man. Listen, cut flowers or dead flowers. I'm just going to tell you. Now, I don't know why a lady liked dead flowers, but they're alive for just a little while, but they're dead flowers walking when I'm carrying them to her. They're on their way out. You know what they do? They do the same thing they do with the dead body. They put it in the refrigerator, try to keep it a little bit longer. Until you buy it and it begins to... But I'll say this, it's not a waste of money if that's what they want. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I want them to have all things. Do you know some of the things that you and I want that we ask God for, we probably think it's just as silly as I do about giving somebody flowers? Can you imagine God of heaven looking down on us and some of the things that we think are important and what he realizes is not important in eternity, but that he loves you and gives you anyway? Wants you to have? Hey, I'm just being real tonight. I want you to understand the God who came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid my sin debt and your sin debt wants you to have all things. And he even says this, that all things, no matter what they are, good or bad, work together for good for us. Do you know, I mean, all of us inside this room, we say, well, why did God allow that to come into our life? Maybe God didn't allow that to come into your life. It was some sinner just brought that into your life. But God used it for his good, for our good, and his glory. And I, by the way, I just think it's important that all things get put together. All things work together for good. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't believe the world has one of them guarantees. You know, it's like a diehard. It's almost, I thought, man, what a name for a battery. Amen. At least they live up to their name. They die hard, right? Then the AutoZone is what? Duralast. Yeah? They don't last. They only go for so long. I mean, there we could go all interstate. That's exactly where that battery will leave you. I mean, we could go through all of the different names and things like that, and we can't put our faith in that, but we can put our faith in God. And that he can work all things together for good. How about this? He goes on. Look, skip down with me to verse 32. He says, I'm sorry, I'll read verse 31. He says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He asks the question and then brings us to the verse. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How many people is all? All, everybody. How shall we not with him also freely give us all things? He's just saying to you, hey, he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? And you tell me one good thing that God wouldn't give to you if he gave his only begotten son to die for you on Calvary. Somehow we think that God is done giving after he gives salvation. That was just the beginning. He gave eternal life and then gave you the Spirit of God to live inside of you and keep it. And he, listen, this life is all about living for him. And if we would walk and live for him, you know what he would do for you? He'd give you all things. Freely give you all things according to his will. Do you know the problem is? We look for everything that ain't in his will. We want to hunt everything that's outside of God's will. We want everything that the world wants. We don't want anything that God wants. If we were smart enough, listen to me, teenager. Listen to me, college student. Listen to me, church tonight. Hey, if we were smart enough, we would want for us all the good things that God says that he says all things work together for good. Do you know that God is wanting to work everything in your life together for good? He wants to freely give you all things. I don't know, what is the price of free? Free. What'd you pay for salvation? Not one thing. God paid it all. Every good thing God wants to give you is free to you. Sometimes we think we got to work all those things together. You know what really I've learned? You know how I got salvation? I yielded to the Spirit of God who drew me to Jesus Christ. And I humbled myself and accepted him. Do you know, I felt like, and I know this sounds crazy, but you know what I've learned in every situation in my life when I wanted to grow in the Lord? It wasn't me working my way into it. It was me yielding my way into it. It was me giving up me and him freely giving me, because me was out of the way. You know, most of us, the reason we don't see the things that we want God to do through us, or sometimes the things that God wants to give us, is because we're in the way. You ever think about living? Think about this verse in verse 12. He says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live in the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Do you ever thinking about that live? And listen, I read a writer this week and I thought, how profound is that? He just said, to truly live, we have to truly love. And to truly love, that has to become our life. That means we got to take the big I that's in live and let the Holy Spirit put the big O of holy in there. And guess what you come out with when you take your I out and you put his O in? Love. You know, most of us miss the fact that really everything, I mean, when you met somebody that was truly holy and living for the Lord, do you know what they gave you? Love. You know what a holy God gave you before the foundation of the world? Himself. He gave you love. He gives all things. And listen, I'll just say this. I mean, the most important thing from the scripture tonight, freely give us all things. Move on with me to verse 37. I want, for time's sake, I just want, he goes on in verse 37 is where we find the only thing. He goes, who shall lay, in verse 33, anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Is it, he said, it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? By the way, if you don't understand what's being said here, the connection is he wants to give us all things freely, but we got to stay connected to get those things. And who's going to separate us from that love that will give us all things freely? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. He says, nay. I underline that in my Bible really bold. He stops, he says, and nay, in all things. How many things? In all things. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Folks, what I was a failure before God found me. And if I allow him to, he'll make me a conqueror through him. You know how I got saved? I sold myself into slavery of sin. You know what you did? You did too. But the conqueror came in. He walked out on the battlefield and destroyed death, hell, and the grave. And won me back into himself. And then all he's ever asked of me is to tell everybody else how good he is. That if you go to him, he'll give you all things. He'll give you salvation, first of all. Then he'll give you his Spirit to live and indwell in you. He'll work all the things of your life. It won't all be good, but he'll work them all out to good. He'll freely give you everything in his will. And then in all things, when you stand at the end of your life and you stand before the Lord, you'll realize in all things, we are more than conquerors. Think about this tonight. I mean, church, I just want to share with you tonight. Think about where we are a defeated people without Christ. Headed to a place called hell that wasn't even built for us. Lost and undone. Without any power to change our state. You say, preacher, why'd you reach in and pull that battery out? Because that battery was dead. It had no power to change anything. But because I'd gone and picked up another one and inserted it, you know what happened? All of a sudden that thing, that vehicle that was of no use and no good, it had new life. Just because power had been put into it. The scripture tells us that he gives us the power to become the sons of God. That power is the Spirit of God that lives in us. Church, I just want to share something with you tonight. I got one more passage of scripture if you'll go with me. And this is majorly for our church body, but it's good for everybody if you'll take it. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Do you know who his Valentine is? The Lord Jesus. It's his church. In Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to know what he's looking for in his Valentine. All these things are things that are gift for his Valentine. He gave all things. He still gives freely all things. But I want you to see tonight, he comes to this place and he's going to talk a little bit about, and if we're not careful, you'll think he's directly speaking of marriage, but he's trying to explain the relationship between Jesus and his church by a good picture of a good marriage. Sometimes we try to, and again, it doesn't mean that we can't take this and apply it to marriage and be helped because we want to have a good marriage. But he's taking a good marriage, something that's earthly, and trying to show us something that's a mystery or heavenly things. I want you to see here. He says, and this ought to help you tonight. But look in verse 23. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You don't want to know why God will give you, look, he says, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Can I just say, church, do you know why he'll give you all things? Because he didn't want any such things that we would bring into it to be there when he comes back for us. You say, why is it that he's purifying? He wants a glorious church. You know, I think about, you say, why wouldn't you want to have your Valentine to have all things when your Valentine is everything to you? Do you know that the whole plan of all of eternity for the Lord Jesus Christ is to present to himself a bride that he purchased with his own blood, that he has loved, one that he freely gave the Spirit of God to quicken and change them from the inside out, that he will continue as she yields herself to him to freely give us all things. And then come all the way full circle, and he'll say this. I mean, think about it. I think it's important for all of us to completely understand and just realize that he'll freely give us all things. But not only that, that he wants us to be more than conquerors. Think about, and I know I'm a man, so I don't like to think about myself like this. But Jesus is the head. That's what he's picturing. His church will rule and reign with him. You know, the queen rules and reigns. And when the king's a conqueror, guess what she is? She's a conqueror too. But usually who does all the battling? The king. Folks, can I just tell you that when we put ourselves in the perspective of the church and realize that Jesus loves us, will protect us, and as his bride, if we are willing and yielding to him, what good thing would he keep from us? Where is Valentine? He wants to give us all things. He loves us with a love that most of the time we don't understand. The chapter continues on, and I want you to just see. He says some things, but he gets down, and he really says, look at verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Tonight, I really believe that instead of just living for ourselves, we ought to take our eye out of live and put a holy O in its place, that one day we might be able to be presented to Jesus Christ, holy, without blemish. You say, preacher, I know he's going to change us. Yeah, but maybe he don't have to change us so much. Maybe he could be pleased with me here, if I allow him to work in me. You say, preacher, why are you preaching on that? Well, I just know this. I love the Lord. And the first and great commandment is to love the Lord with what? All your heart. You know, I know in my flesh I'm incapable of that. But if I move myself out of the way and I don't live for me, but I let myself be yielded to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God wants to draw me closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to remake me into his image. You say, preacher, you talked about getting charged up. Yeah, more than anything, I get weary in the work. But the Spirit of God doesn't get weary. And if I would decide that even in the work, that I'd stay charged up by the Spirit, the weariness that we feel is often in the flesh. And if our spirit is not charged up, we'll think there's something wrong with the work. We'll think there's something wrong with the brethren. We'll think there's something wrong and we'll move on to something else. When the real problem is, my battery's dead. And we'll think that if I just do this or I do that, that'll change. Do you know what the change really needs to happen? It needs to be in me. It needs to be in you. My dad had something called a jump box. And when something was stone cold dead, he would take something that was charged up, and I mean charged up at a high level, and he would put that on there. And sometimes it didn't always, especially on them cold days, crank right up. Sometimes it was, and then it would, and it'd fire. You know, I think for all of us, I don't know where you are. I don't know if it's, or if you just need a little bit of charge tonight. But this book right here is the jump box. This is the charge that every one of us need. The Spirit of God who infused this, his spirit. It's inspiration, folks. That's why the Bible is inspired. And if I want the Spirit of God to change me and work on me, I've got to let the Spirit of God lay eyes on this book. And I've got to get me out of the way, I out of the way, and get wholly and solely before him. Listen, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, listen, I preach to Christians tonight. But if you're here without Christ, the first thing you need is to come to Christ and humble yourself and accept him. His finished work of Calvary, that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He did come from heaven. He did live a perfect life, unlike you and I, who are sinners and on our way to hell. And then when he laid his life down to pay for my sin and your sin, he rose again in power. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father of heaven, and we pick up again where we started tonight, where he sent the comfort of the Spirit of God to indwell all them that will call upon the name of the Lord. Tonight, listen, if you're saved tonight, the Spirit of God's in you, are you letting him work? Or are you operating with a dead battery? Being pushed here, pulled there, instead of being alive and having that charge that you need to have. Cranking up and pulling others to the cause of Christ. Pulling others. I don't know about you, but folks, I'm just going to tell you, I remember my Christian life and people pushing me to do things for God and people trying to pull me along with them to the right things. And I'm thankful that one day, the Spirit of God, there was a jump, a charge that happened in my life. And no longer am I pulled to things. I want to charge forward as a conqueror because all things have been freely given to me. And I realize that, listen, in all things that we're more than conquerors. Not because of what I did, but because of what he's done. Tonight, if you're here and you're without Christ, don't you want to get saved and know for sure you're on your way to heaven? If you're a Christian tonight and you know your batteries are dead, do this. Come and ask God for all things. He will freely give them to you. If you're in the midst of the worst thing that you've ever faced in your life, come and claim Romans 8:28 and say, God, I want you to work all things together for good. for me because I love you. You say, preacher, how do I become a conqueror? You got to get through what's going on right now. You have to ask God to add those things to your life. Say, God, I want to be that conqueror that was in the scripture. I want you to give me all these things. Tonight, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you stand to your feet tonight? Would you do business with God? Come speak to God and say, God, I want to be that conqueror you want me to be. I need all these things. Say, God, I want all these things because I'm your Valentine. Dear Lord, I pray tonight that you'd be with us. Help us, God. Folks have used the altar, but God, I pray that tonight that you would use the Spirit of God to charge them up for you. Help us not to be weary in well-doing, but help us, God, to continue the work because we're charged up through the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen.